Merry, Merry Christmas. I want to say welcome, one and all, to our Christmas Eve gathering. My name is Alex. I'm one of the pastors here at Chatham Community Church, and we are delighted that you've invited us to share in your Christmas Eve gathering, whatever it's looking like here. And now we want to wish you and yours a very, very Merry Christmas. Kids, we are so glad you're here with us. We know today is like one of the longest days of your life. Christmas morning is almost here. It's coming. Just hang on for just a few minutes. Hey, speaking of kids, it's been a crazy fall for teachers and kids and schools. And every year we look for some way to make a difference here in our community because that's what church is supposed to do, make a difference to bless and serve and love our community. And so this year we've connected with the Chatham Arts Council, who's partnering with local arts teachers who are telling us that there's kids learning at home and doing school who don't have art supplies. One art teacher told a story of a kid who did an art project on the backside of a cereal box, like inside cardboard box, because they didn't have plain white paper at home. My friends, this should not be. So we are going to partner with the Chatham Arts Council to get art teacher supplies to get the students so they can do the work they need to do in the art world. So there's a couple ways that you can be a part of making this happen. The easiest way they would prefer is a financial contribution because they can buy in bulk. The second way that you could do is just to give something from their wish list. All of that is on our website. Just go to chathamchurch.org, scroll down to the bottom. The art supplies drive is right there. There's a button there, give you all the details about how you can make a difference, how you might help students in Chatham County to do the work they need to do and to continue to find a way to thrive even in the midst of all the challenges of learning, in the midst of all the COVID that's happening. Well, I've got 14 teenagers at home, and all fall long, they've been trying to figure out learning online and managing school and all that kind of thing. And one of them loves decorating. In fact, if it was up to her, our house would look something like this. This is how our house would look like if it was up to Maya. This is how the Kirk house actually looked this year. Sorry, Maya, maybe next year we'll get it for you. But whether you're a person who loves big lights or you're kind of more on the tame side of things, for almost all of us, the Christmas season is marked with additional light, right? Extra light, beautiful light, however you describe or define beauty. And this is in large part because really from the beginning of time, darkness has represented chaos, uncertainty, threat that's out there, and light provides security, right? If you're a kid, you've got a nightlight that helps you to sort of not worry about what's in the dark, what's around you. But as you get older, darkness and chaos and uncertainty is not just physical, right? There are seasons of life that feel chaotic, uncertain, and threatening, and few things describe 2020 better than feeling like it's been shrouded in darkness, including the chaos, threats, and uncertainty of COVID and all the other things that have happened here in 2020. Now, of course, the burden of 2020 has not been sort of shared equally. I know some people who were like quarantining at home way before it was cool, and they're loving this, right? They're putzing around the house, they're doing stuff around the yard or in the house, and they're glad to not be commuting in and going to work or any of those sort of things. Some people have been just loving this whole experience, but for the bulk of us, it's been a wearying experience, and for some of us, it's just been exhausting. And into that sort of weary, exhausting kind of a feel, Christmas comes, and not a moment too soon. Now, one of the benefits of 2020 is it's been a disrupted year. That's actually an opportunity. A disruption is an opportunity to not just go into autopilot, but to actually evaluate, maybe even reevaluate, sort of who am I and what have I been about? And so this year, Christmas Eve 2020, opportunity for you and I to not just go into Christmas Eve autopilot, whatever that's been for you, and instead to be a little bit more awake, maybe even a little bit more engaged to the wonders that we're talking about here, the wonders of what Christmas Eve and Christmas Day is really all about. Because Christmas is not just a nice distraction for a couple of weeks while we wait for a vaccine. Christmas is a concrete hope that happened in history. What we have in Christmas is not just waiting for circumstances to get better. What we have in Christmas is something better than a vaccine. What we have in Christmas is a hope that can bring all kinds of grace and mercy, light and life to the worst, most difficult circumstances because it's bigger than our circumstances. And what I've been sent here to tell you, Christmas Eve 2020, is that even in the midst of all the uncertainty, all the darkness, all the threats, there is a light that still shines. Jesus' coming is described in multiple ways by different authors throughout the New Testament. But one of his closest friends, John, described the coming of Jesus in this way. Here's what John writes at the opening of his biography of Jesus in John chapter 1. He writes this. In him, that's Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Do you have anything around the house that when it's not quite right, it bothers you more than it should? Like one of my weird things that I have about so that bothers me more than it should is when a light bulb is burnt out. There's something about looking at this fixture that was made for to do more than it can. It has potential. It's loaded up with potential, but we're not realizing the potential because the light bulb is burnt out. So I feel like I'm kind of forever chasing around burnt out light bulbs and swapping them out because here's the thing. The moment you screw in a light bulb, clock's ticking. There's only a matter of time before the light goes out and the darkness overwhelms it once again. These two realities, potential for so much more than we're delivering, and the inevitable victory of darkness, describes a little bit of the human condition that God comes to solve on Christmas Day. See, the scriptures tell us that there's a designer who designed us to be bright, to shine brightly, that there's something of God's character that has to be poured through our personality into the world to make it more beautiful, more alive, more light-giving. Kids, have any of you seen those sort of moving lights outside of people's homes? Maybe you have one of those outside your house. Well, simple how it works, right? There's a giant bright bulb, and you just change the filter, and that bright bulb shines out, and it pours through the filter, and the result is something beautiful-ish on the outside of people's houses, right? There's a beautiful light, as a strong light pours through the filter, produces something beautiful. This is how we were designed to live, that God is the source of all this light. And the way it was supposed to work was his light was to pour through your personality, my personality, to produce beauty in this world so that anytime we did anything, every conversation, every work project, every school project, anytime you texted or emailed or posted something on social media, something of God's beauty, God's truth, God's goodness, God's joy, God's love, God's grace, God's justice, we poured through your personality, through my personality, to make the world more and more beautiful, more alive. But then, this is a magnificent job description. It's a magnificent job description of what it means to be human. It's good for you, good for your family and those immediately around you, good for the whole world. But then sin enters the picture. And sin is this blockage that gets between you and the light, between me and God's light, so that God's light no longer pours through us. God's personality, God's character no longer pours through us. There's other things that kind of get in the way or come out of us. There's no telling what might come out of you or me, depending on kind of what kind of mood we're in or what's going on. And so all of us were designed for so much more light that we'll never deliver on. All of us were designed for so much more to come through us to bless the world that we'll never execute on. And some of us get so cut off from the light, we don't even try, right? We get so cut off from the light, we get exhausted, we don't even try. We get cynical, we get bitter, we get envious or jealous. We just kind of give in to whatever our appetites are in the moment. We get consumed with personal ambition or greed. We just chase after things. Some of us think that the only way to be happy is to embrace the darkness. Maybe you've become that person, or maybe you've worked for that person, or know that person in a family member or a teacher that you worked with or a coach. You've experienced someone who's had that level of bitterness and brokenness. We have a planet full of people designed with all this potential for light and beauty and goodness, but none of us shines as brightly as we're meant to. And all of us suffer loss. Inevitably, it seems the darkness closes in. Inevitably, darkness does close in. On even the brightest light, darkness always wins. And so into that planet full of unrealized potential and the victory of darkness comes the light of Christ. His name is Jesus. The light comes. And his beginning is both spectacular and it looks as vulnerable and normal as anyone else, right? On the spectacular side, the angels tell his mom, hey, he's going to be unique, the unique son of God. And angels sing his birth when to local shepherds. That looks amazing. But then his birth looks like the same as lots of other children throughout history. He's born to a peasant family in the middle of nowhere 2,000 years ago, vulnerable and needy, but it turns out the angels knew a thing or two. And as this baby Jesus, as he grows, as he matures, everything he's doing is pouring out God's grace and truth through his personality. Every conversation, every time he stops to talk to somebody, every word he speaks, every time he teaches, every time he heals someone, every thought, every word, every deed, every step, he is pushing back darkness because the light shines and the darkness has not overcome it. There's no sin in him. Nothing blocks the flow of God's light poured through his personality to meet and to touch the broken people, the weary world all around him. Everywhere he goes, his light shines brightly, pushing back the darkness over and over again. He is showing us what it means to be truly human. He's showing us what it means to be fully human. What we were designed to be if sin had not blocked the way. God's grace and mercy, his beauty pouring out through his personality. His light shines bright. Light and life are his in abundance. And the inevitable question in a world where all lights eventually go out is, how long can this last, right? How long can this last? Because eventually, no matter how brightly the light shines, darkness always overcomes it. And that's what it looked like happened when this light was arrested and crucified and put on a cross. It looked like darkness had won. And what Jesus was doing in that moment was absorbing all the darkness, all the sin, all the things that cut us off from God were put on his shoulders, and he plunged into the darkness of death, the thing that has snuffed out all the greatest lights throughout history. And part of what we celebrate here in Christmas Eve 2020 is the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not and did not overwhelm it. On the third day, God raised him from the dead, a resurrection life that never died again. And so we are given access to this perfect light, the light that has overcome the darkness, the one light that finally was not swallowed up in the darkness. And that light can give you and I strength and carry us through this pandemic, no matter how long it lasts. And that light can help carry you and I through whatever personal challenges you and I are carrying into Christmas Eve 2020. It's a light that calls us to grow up, to be men and women living the way that God designed us, the way that God called us to live. It's a true light that shines. And the invitation as we close out 2020 is not just to be relieved that it's over. The invitation as we close out 2020 is not just to be relieved that it's over and hope for a better 2021, because there's more to life than just hoping circumstances that you can't control get better for you. There's more to life than just hoping circumstances that you have no ability to control happen to get better for you. There are decisions we can make in the midst of whatever our circumstances to root ourselves and a light that shines brightly, to root ourselves in a God who loves radically, recklessly, who has the power to bring light into any situation, to redeem any situation, to bring good out of even the darkest season, to bring his light, his life, to make us men and women who are strong and courageous, even in the midst of the darkest days. So the question for each of us, Christmas Eve 2020, is this: will you receive and walk in the light of Christ? Will you tonight receive and walk in this wonderful, magnificent, resurrection, resilient light? And then will you walk in that light of Christ? All of us hit forks in the road in our lives. Some of them are spiritual forks, and sometimes there's a call to either walk in the light of God that he's given to us in Christ or to go your own way. And tonight, I want to invite you to look at that fork in the road. For some of us, we have not received the light of Christ before, or if we did, it's been a long, long time since this ever meant anything to us in a meaningful, integrated, sort of real way. To receive the light of Christ is to acknowledge what we just said, that Christ is the light of the world, that in him is life and light, that sinless existence where God's light poured through him and where that light overcame and absorbed all our sin and all our debt, all the ways that you and I choose not to be ambassadors or instruments of the light. Christ said, I see that. I see that sin. I see that mistake. And I will take that on myself. I will take the punishment. I will take the blame. I will absorb that into myself and give you in exchange grace, forgiveness, mercy, and inviting you to walk in that light. We receive the good news of Christ as the light who overcomes all the darkness and invites us to live by his light. When we receive that light in a way that is grateful and humble and repentant, we simply pray, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I don't shine the way that you made me to. I don't shine the way that you meant for me to. I receive your forgiveness and your grace. I receive that, and I want to walk in that light. I'll receive it in my heart, my mind, my spirit. There's an invitation for us to get all tangled up into the light of Christ, an invitation to us to align ourselves in the light of Christ, to sort of recognize that there is a true light and there's a way that God has called us to live and invited us to live, and to step into that way as best we can. If you've never received the light of Christ, tonight is your night. This is an opportunity for you. I'm going to give you a chance to make that decision to receive the light of Christ in just a minute. Others of us, we have received the light of Christ, but man, 2020 has been a dark year, a hard year, and some of you are carrying all kinds of burdens you've been grappling with and wrestling with. And the invitation tonight, if you just feel burdened and heavy laden by the darkness and the brokenness of the world and the chaos all around you, is to be at peace. The light has come. The darkness has not overwhelmed it, overcome it, and that light is yours. And there's an invitation to simply delight, to rejoice in the good news, to get all tangled up and to align yourself in line with the light of Christ and to take peace and rest in the good news of the light that has come, to rejoice in it, to delight in it, to find your orientation around the light of Christ that continues to be poured out into your life. Some of us need to receive the light of Christ for the first time or the first time in a long time. Others of us need to celebrate and just continue to take a step, day in and day out, down into the light of Christ. Will you receive and walk in the light of Christ tonight? I'm going to give you a small gift here, Christmas Eve 2020. I'm going to give you 30 seconds with this question to do whatever business with God you need to. And I want to invite you, if you need to do some business with God, if you need to take that step of receiving the light of Christ, to sort of receive and acknowledge the need you have for someone to sort of clear the path and to take away the mistakes you made and the ways you turned away from, don't back down. I want to invite you. There's an invitation for you, an opportunity for you to step into that moment here tonight. I want to invite you to do whatever business you need to do. 30 seconds now, just to do whatever you need to do before the Lord, and then I'll close us in prayer. Will you receive and walk in the light of Christ tonight? Lord Jesus, we need the light. And we acknowledge in the midst of a dark year that we don't always make the good decisions, the right decisions, the wise decisions. And so we come to the light that was not snuffed out, not overcome, and we receive your light. I pray for my friends who are here, who need to make that decision, who are making that decision now, who are wrestling with it. Lord, would you give them the courage and the strength to open up their hands and receive, to receive the grace and the mercy you have for us. Lord, for my friends who are here who are burdened by the darkness and the heaviness, the uncertainty of this year, would the good news that there's a light that has overcome all this darkness, would it give us courage and strength for this road, for this day? Would you help us to enter in with rejoicing the good news of a God who so loved the world, put on flesh, to be the light that overcomes the darkness, to win back a humanity that he loves? Thank you, Jesus, for coming, laying down your life. Thank you for Christmas, for the birth of the light that shines. Thank you for overcoming all the darkness. Would our hearts be warmed and would our imaginations be enlivened? Would your light pour through us this Christmas and beyond? And would we come alive in your grace and your mercy? Thank you, Jesus, for being the light that shines brightly. Thank you, the darkness hasn't overcome you. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' strong and mighty name. Amen.